Yo, what's going on, fight fans? It is your boy, Ike Feldman, back for another Iketagon episode. Iketagon everywhere at Iketagon, Iketagon.com. Again, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything Iketagon. Swipe right on Ike. I love you guys. And I also love competing, challenging myself, testing myself, seeing where my skill is, seeing where I have to improve. So that way, the next time I step into competition, I can see and feel improvement. As previously mentioned, I return to throwing fists in competition. Not just verbal jabs, not just jiu-jitsu tournament, but a full-on drag them out, knock them out, or try to knock them out fight. Boxing match. This past Friday, I competed at the world-famous Gleason Gym in Dumbo, Brooklyn. Justin Kid Marvelous Montalvo coached me, was in my corner, super supportive. He's a star on the rise, obviously future champion, Bellator undefeated, 5-0, 4 knockouts, killing it. Very lucky and blessed, grateful to have him in my corner, have my back, get me perfectly ready to compete after 6 years of not throwing fists. The last time I threw a punch at somebody, it knocked them out. It was a crazy night, September of 2016. From then on, just craziness started to ensue in a good way, in a great way. Chaos, controlled chaos. And I love riding the wave of that. Now I'm a father, a homeowner, many, many, many years later with my wife. And why not? I'm not drinking, not smoking, I'm sleeping, I'm focused. Why not compete and test myself once again? I got in the best shape of my life. And again, folks, I will hit on the Devin Haney and George Kambosos Jr. rematch that was this past weekend. But obviously, for me, this is the most important thing regarding combat sports. The last time I stepped into combat sport where fists were being thrown, it was a crazy experience. I took the fight on the Wednesday before Saturday, so it was at 4 days' notice. And I had a great feeling that I was going to fight that night, though I took the fight on short notice. A couple months prior, I started to really just get focused, get determined, start to visualize, start to get in shape. And yeah, I was still drinking, smoking, eating pizza on the weekends, training like a motherfucker, training really hard, putting the work in. And the fight shows up. It's just like, whoa, it actually happened. I told a couple of coworkers, a couple of family members, and it's like, whoa, it's actually happening. I'm actually stepping into a cage. The promoter kind of brushed me off a couple times. Because at the amateur level, I'm sure he gets a ton of people who think they want to fight, who don't actually fight, maybe people who pull out day of. But I was dead serious. The year prior, I was reaching out to the promoter trying to get a fight. That I full on trained for, did not drink, did not smoke. Was pushing it. 2-a-days. Was kind of dragging by the time I got to the fight week. But I'm very happy because physically, I was a killer. in 2015, but mentally I was not there yet. I could feel it. I'm grateful that I didn't fight that night in 2015. And then fast forward a year later, not as physically chiseled or trimmed up, didn't train twice a day, was drinking, smoking, but mentally strong as an ox. My mind was a vault. Nothing could crack it. I knew I would win. And it's crazy. It just shows you the power of the mind. And yeah, it was a wild, wild experience. This dude I met at a park, I think a week or two prior, I said, hey, I'm going to be trying to get a fight. Jordan Sands, my boy, Rain Sands, who's just a full-time martial artist, lives and breathes martial arts, truly respect him. He hopped in my corner, my best man, Joe Reyes, P.O. Joe, and of course, my not yet wife hopped in there. So yeah, my boy Joe, my girlfriend, and Jordan, some dude I met at a park just a few days prior, were in my corner. So very spontaneous in their eyes, even though I knew this was at least a year in the making and visualizing. In their eyes, it felt extremely spontaneous. And hey, I fought a killer. This was a big dude. He was a mean dude. My wife at the weigh-in the day before, she goes, oh, I hope you're not fighting that guy. Isaac Feldman, step to the scales. Yep, I weighed in right after him. I faced off with him. And it's crazy. Wild experience. I remember, yeah, just feeling the canvas. This was at the Flushing Theater in Queens, maybe 400 or 500 people. Shout out to the Eugene Perez of ACC, Aggressive Combat Championships, the no longer ACC MMA organization. But yeah, very, very grateful for that experience. And yeah, they wanted me to come back just a few months later. They were very surprised at how I performed that night. I didn't really tell many people about that fight leading up. I've always tried to dissect everything prior, during, and after that. Just my mindset and decisions going in, during, and going out. And it was an extreme confidence boost. I proved something to myself wholeheartedly. I believe that. And I believe I could do anything after that. So, and I believe I've been gifted with tools, work ethic, mindset, positive attitude, thrive in team atmospheres. So yeah, I decided, fast forward 6 years, to turn it up. Now, since the McGregor-Mayweather fight, I always wanted to box. Just didn't know when. I was out of shape at that time, really out of shape. That's the worst. I was in 2017 was when I just poured everything into podcasting and social media and content creation. That was the worst shape I've ever been in. There's a photo that I took with the first UFC champion, Hoist Gracie, where I just, it may be hard to see. I'm wearing a picnic looking flannel shirt, but man, I just kind of look like a bowling pin, skinny fat, as Conor McGregor would call Nate Diaz in the lead up to their fight. Skinny fat is what I was. Obviously Nate Diaz is not skinny fat. He's in excellent shape. He may look because he like that because he has bad posture, but Nate Diaz is a killer. I was not a killer in 2017. I've always dabbled with martial arts each and every year of the past decade plus, whether it's a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. But I didn't really turn it back up till 2019. I was in a phase where kind of heading in a new direction. And martial arts has always been my safety net, and stepping into a gym is a comfort zone. And I step back on the mats, like ready to be a buzzsaw and kick ass. And I did, won a couple of medals for the Grappling Industries tournament. And then the pandemic happened, and yeah, everything kind of got thrown upside down. Obviously, podcasting and Zooming was a thing still. And yeah, late 2020 is when I stepped back on the mats. That felt great. 2021 was a wild year because I did not have martial arts physically at all in my life, because my beautiful baby boy was born. And at that time, with the information that we had, especially with the scenario that we were dealing with my son's birth, where it's the middle of the winter, and maybe it wouldn't be the best decision to step back into a place where we're all sweating and dripping on each other. It would have been extremely selfish. But my boy is an ox. Second time I've used that word on this recording. And he is the greatest gift God has ever blessed us with. Extremely grateful to be in his life each and every day for many, many hours. And I am I'm a great dad. Let's cut the malarkey. Everybody go to sleep now. It's curfew. Yes, I am the dad. But fast forward to January 2022. I step back on the mats. Sarah BJJ down the Ruad. And from that point on, got to really dissect and learn what it takes to be a successful martial artist by stalking, just kidding, following, just kidding, no, filming, documenting Justin Montalvo during his fight camp and everything that goes into it. That is the Gray Area documentary that is on the Iktagon YouTube page. I don't think I dropped the YouTube page, but now I did. And yeah, Justin, very open-minded, allowed me to step in, and he's an elite striker and very confident, secure that some guy that, yeah, he did a couple interviews with, yeah, he's trying to do a project, focus on him, but to allow to step into his element, the physical part of it, physicality of training, throwing punches, moving around, flowing, not just on the mats, but in the stand-up. Justin, very open-minded, and fast forward 9 months, got in the best shape of my life, September, ready to box, ready to do it. And again, maybe some people, friends, family, teammates, they think this is a spur-of-the-moment thing. They'd be wrong if they thought that. I've been wanting to box since I looked like a bowling pin in that picnic shirt standing next to Hoist Gracie in 2017. And Yeah, I stepped into the ring this past Friday in Gleason's, and it was fucking awesome. Time of my life. Felt like home. I don't know. You could say it's cocky. I'm calling it cocky. Maybe you could say it's unfocused, maybe hyper, maybe excited, but I'm doing jumping jacks in the fight. I'm talking outside of my corner. I'm very just taking in everything, hearing the audience, seeing my opponent's punches, throwing punches, landing punches, cracking him, cracking me. Like, holy moly, we got a slobber knocker going on here. This is fantastic. This is everything I signed up for. The opponent was bodied up. Shout out to Steven Rispers. Big ups to him. Big respect to him. He showed up to fight. He gained my respect. I thought I was going to coast to a split decision victory, but he stole it away at the end, and you got to tip your hat or your headgear to him. And, yeah, much respect. And fast forward now. I'm going to keep this rolling. I stepped into the gym today, Tuesday, October 18th, just a few days removed from competition. Usually in the past, I take a full week off, unless I knew I was going to get a belt promotion after a tournament. Like, hell yeah, I'm coming on that Monday. But had a couple slices, had Wendy's. Oh, man, some guy at the gym's like, I don't ever eat that. I go, no, not even after a fight, no. Never. I go, damn. So I immediately hit the speed up on the treadmill. I had to burn that double, whatever the burger is called from Wendy's. But I'm back at it. I'm looking forward to competing again in December. Keep it rocking and rolling again in January. Holy moly, where is this going to lead? I don't know. I'm very excited. I'm very pumped. I'm just excited to be training, focused, peak physical condition, peak mental mindset, peak spirituality for combat. Just loving the moment. And again, blessed by everything that surrounds me. My wife, my family, my friends, my dog. Above all, my son, who is just, he helps me relax. I can be tense, I can be tired, and just looking at his sweetness, the aura that is my beautiful baby boy just makes everything gravy, baby. And of course, the teammates, the coaches, everything. Just extremely happy and to keep on keeping on. You know, I tell everybody to keep on keeping on with success. This was success. I know some people treat losses like a funeral. It can be. It can be. If you, I get it. I get it. I could feel that today at the gym. Some people, like, they kind of humbly nod their head and just take a brief second to, like, bathe in the loss with me. But I'm like, get out of this bath. I go, this is nobody's bathing right now. We showered off the loss. It's over. Split decision. I cracked him. I swung for the fences. Maybe I should throw a jab. Maybe I should listen to my coach, Justin, moving forward, Coach Justin, and throw a lot more jabs and stop going for a home run. Maybe a single grand slam. Maybe that will get my opponent out of there, because I can crack, but hot damn, my boy Steven Rispers could take it. I hope he goes on to win this 2022 Metropolitan Championship, becomes the champion of that, because, man, if somebody could take him out, they need to be in the next Avengers movie or something. But yeah, guys, so that was my recap of the fight that was. Your boy is back. Your boy is back. All right. Reset. Yeah, I had a lot more fun than the announcers with Andre Ward, Timothy Bradley, and I forget the play-by-play, but they were trying to do some Zoom play-by-play with the fight being in Australia. I understand this whole fight package was condensed. It was like 50,000 plus people in the first fight between George Kambosos Jr., an Australian native, and then Devin Haney coming over to Australia, and then Devin Haney just shut him down. Literally just defensive wizard. Didn't let George Kambosos get off any offense in their first fight. It was a big production, big package, big ESPN for that fight. This fight, a little pulled back. 14,000 people at the gate. That's maybe a 60-something percent decrease. George Kambosos was a huge underdog. Devin Haney, big favorite. Though he was on the road, though he's rematching, though with all the hype and the verbal jabs from Kambosos saying that he's going to do a lot more in this fight. He did a lot more. He did. Still, not even close to being enough to get the win. Devin Haney not only shut him down for the most part, but landed big right hands and didn't get Kambosos out of there, but made a statement, is the undisputed lightweight champion of the world at 23 years old. Talk about a prodigy. Shout-outs to the undefeated Devin Haney. Man, aside from the broadcast being choppy and the guys Bradley and Ward stepping on each other, it being awkward at time, not really flowing, man, it was a very entertaining event. Mark Kriegel as well. Very entertaining event. Yeah, this is a great year for boxing. This coming weekend is not a big boxing weekend. It is where the UFC takes center stage, and I'm talking about UFC 280 with local fast rising legend Aljamain Funkmaster Sterling taking on TJ Dillashaw in Abu Dhabi. Of course, rooting for Aljamain Sterling to represent Nassau County. Let's go. Big fight week for him. Big fight. I think he gets it done in a big way. I think he makes a huge, huge statement. And at the main event, Charles Oliveira, pretty formidable underdog against Islam Makhachev. I'm obviously going with jiu-jitsu over wrestling, especially if the guys are equal in the cardio and striking department. I think elite jiu-jitsu beats elite wrestling every time if everything else is even. Before both of those title fights, you get a amazing fight in Sean O'Malley, Sugar Sean O'Malley, and Pieter Jan. Two strikers, three rounds, going to be a sprint. You get the long and rangy Sean O'Malley, who is got that karate, taekwondo, very slow getting his foot out of calf kicking range. Expect Pieter Jan, who is a lot shorter in stature, a lot faster, a lot more power, to be picking apart that lead leg and then looking for his entrances to land his switch hooks, his switch overhands to do big damage. For Sean O'Malley, does he have that magic? Is he going to fight for a title next? We will see. We will see. I don't think you could count him out. He took this fight because he could see something. He's exceptionally intelligent. You got to respect that. But you also got to respect the amount of elite cage experience that Pieter Jan has. Sean O'Malley, the top opponents he is seeing, he's not seeing the final bell. Whether it was Chito Vera or most recently Pedro Munhoz, he has not seen the final horn. So that is concerning because there's something about going into that third round. It could be you're up to, you're down to, it's a round apiece. What adjustments do you make? How do you finish the fight? We have not seen that from Sean O'Malley against elite opponents. We don't see it from Sean O'Malley against the lower opponents because he gets them out of there really fast. So not enough data on Sean O'Malley to give him the full stamp of approval here, but the kid is talented. He lives and breathes martial arts. He understands that this makes or breaks a brand. He obviously can turn around in a year, 18 months, 24 months, and be right back in the title picture or fighting for a title or even a champion in 2 years. He is only 27 years old. At the top of the division, Corey Sandhagen, Chito Vera, Sean O'Malley, Peter Yan, they're not going anywhere. TJ Dillashaw, this might be the last fight. Aljamain Sterling, couple more title defenses. Maybe he rides off into the sunset on his Abu Dhabi yacht. But the division is hot. The division is extremely hot. And guys, I want to thank you for the love and support. Again, jump onto the Pod Forbid Network, streaming network. If you want to do a podcast, let me know. Let your boy Ike Feldman know. I will figure something out. We have a ton of combat sports podcasts. So if you want to do something on music, skateboarding, pool, swimming, golf, I don't know, hiking, there can be a spot for you on the Pod Forbid streaming network. Video, audio, we got it all. It is for podcasters. It's a podcasting network for podcasters. Maybe that's an ad right there. But yeah, Pod Forbid for everything else. Ikedagon for your boy Ike Feldman. Ikedagon.com. At Ikedagon. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Guys, I love you. I'm back in the ring of combat. Until next time. Peace.